Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, @ The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Jambo, fellow adventurers, this is Mike Dooley, and you are listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show, the Ask Dave and
Jen
edition. You know, designed to unlock your human potential.
Where you're going to learn to know yourself, grow yourself, love yourself, and be yourself.
Know yourself, grow yourself, love yourself.
You're going to wrap it now.
Be yourself.
He's rapping.
Hey, if you're listening for the first time, I just want to let you know there are four very, very different shows. So I'm just imagine if you come into this show, this is one of four very different shows. We on Tuesdays, we have a guest, which is an hour-long show. On Thursdays, we have a 30-minute training with myself from things I teach around the world. And then on Saturdays, it's the Ask Dave and
Jen
show. And then on Mondays, we do that little kick in the butt. It's a 600-second, 10-minute show. So, again, try them out. There'll be some you love, some you don't love so much. But guess what? We've been going now for almost, 2 years, 206 shows. Can you believe?
Not 2 years.
206 shows. Can you believe that?
What?
That's crazy. All right. Well, so what are we up to today, young lady? Oh, by the way.
Honey, you want to share with us your gratefuls, good at, and looking forward to's this morning?
Well, but for those of you, again, listening in, one thing that we do every day to lead a kick-ass life, one of the things we start with is gratitude. So what we thought with this show, we would open our show with our particular gratitude. So last night, for example, we had dinner. We were out for sushi with Ben and his good friend, who just broke his hand.
Poor Robbie.
And wherever we are, we were in a restaurant, we would take it in turns to share what we're grateful for, what we were good at today, and what we're looking forward to. So it's so early in the morning here. I mean, it's not even really light yet. So I'll have to find something what I'm good at today. But it's gratitude. I'm so grateful for all the questions that came in through Facebook. The questions are becoming really, really great. And not that they never were, but people realize that this is somewhere they can come and ask questions. So I'm so grateful for everyone that asked questions. I'm also grateful for Jen. She just made me a big pot of tea. And so we're sitting here supping a little tea.
It's a rainy day.
It's a rainy gray day here today. And I was good at today getting organized, getting up and getting ready really fast. And I'm looking forward to I am looking forward to our trip to Mexico, where we will be at Mike Dooley's wedding, which I'm really excited about. Okay, that's my grateful, good at, and looking forward to.
I am grateful for the rain. I feel like we're in Vancouver right now in the port. And I am grateful that David has asked me to come on the show and become a part of it. So now it's Dave and Jen. I was good at getting out of bed before 6:30 on a Saturday morning. And I know we're not normally allowed to repeat, but I too am looking forward to Mexico.
All right. Well, yeah, we don't do repeats, but anyway, we got lots and lots of questions, so let's get going.
We better get at her. Our first question's from...
There's a little saying, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
Get at her. My dad says that all the time.
Oh, dear.
So our first question comes from Joe White. Awesome show gets me motivated, says Joe. I've listened to it all. I also have passive income, but I'm stuck in a dead-end job. A few business opportunities on my brain. Just wondering what networking functions or seminars, if any, you recommend for real estate investing in Canada, or seminars based on negotiations. Have read a lot of the material and listened to many podcasts. Most of the gooders are US-based. I have a very attractive personality in which people flock and follow. Oh. I'm definitely a leader, just need a bit more group-based learning and motivation.
All right, well, a little song first. Money, money, money. Well, listen, Joe, thanks for the question. A few things. I love the fact you'll love yourself. That's so important. And that's why you have charisma, is because you're aware of it. And, you know, we're taught as young kids that that's a wrong thing to do, is to talk about what we're great at. So congratulations on that. That's really a massive step. A guy that I used to work with, Darren Weeks, Fast Track Cash Flow. I'm going to put this in the show notes for you, a link for him. He does a lot on teaching that. He travels around Canada, and he's actually the primary agent for Robert Kiyosaki. So he teaches and has been teaching for years. I mean, when I first started out, him and I used to be on stage together all the time. But he's a Canadian, lives in Edmonton. He's built a massive passive income through real estate, but teaches all the principles. So I will put that in the show notes, and you can go to thekickasslife.com and you can find the show notes there, and we'll put all the links in there for you. The other thing with your personality, I don't know if you want to contact me privately, but with that type of personality, it's you know, there is a massive opportunity to build a strong residual income, which will lead into passive income. And I say that, you know, I always do the, when I'm teaching people to create true wealth and freedom, is to have that the understanding, the difference between residual and passive. And residual is much like, you know, writing a record or publishing a book, where it keeps coming back to you. So you do the work once, keep getting paid. And of course, passive is where your money's working for you. So real estate, and I've been, that's for me, it's become passive because I have a manager look after all of our real estate. And thank you, Mike. That's who the manager is. Well, we have other managers, but Mike oversees the managers. Darren Weeks, check it out. He's always around the country. So speak to you soon, Joe. Contact me privately. I'd like to chat with you about something. Over to you, kiddo.
Okie dokie. Next question is from Stephen Green. And he says, hi, Dave and the lovely Jen. Thanks, Stephen. My father-in-law, aged 80, who is very fit and healthy, recently lost his wife after caring for her for over 15 years. Caring had become his life purpose. What suggestions have you for helping somebody to find a new life purpose so late in life, and for giving them a reason to go on living?
You know, I want to tell you a story. There's a guy that 96 years of age, he's married for 75 years, and he wrote a song. He entered a song competition, and he wrote a love song for his wife of 75 years, and they actually loved it so much they turned it into a record. It's actually available on iTunes, and I'm going to put the links on our show notes, and again, just go to thekickasslife.com. But listen to this song; it's just so beautiful. Right, here you go.
You like it? And once I said, it's not done yet, but I'm going to let you hear it, okay? Yeah.
All right.
Tell me when you're ready.
This is him hearing it for the first time. And by the way, this guy is tone deaf.
Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. The good times, the good times, the good times, all over again. The good times, the good times.
It's a beautiful song, and again, you can listen to it on, you go to the show notes and you can listen to the whole song and read the whole story. I'll put the whole story on there for you. But you know, here's the thing, you know, it really depends, because he was dealing with an illness. There's a lot of the studies show that when there's an illness involved, a lot of people can go one of two ways, but typically they feel relief for their partner's not suffering anymore. And so that's one part. And so there's, and again, all the studies, and I'm actually going to put a link to an article about this exact subject so that you can really read through it. And again, in the show notes, so you can read through it. But the a couple of ways of going, one is that sometimes they just want to be alone. They want more solo time, which isn't great, great, great for them, but they certainly through the grieving period. I've heard a lot said about a dog, a pet, and that allows them to focus their love, and it gives them a reason to get out of bed. And again, it doesn't have to be a big dog. Anyone who has a Great Dane and has to walk behind him with a garbage bag, I'm not sure about that whole thing. I mean, I don't like so much yippy dogs, but you know, when you're picking up behind them, you know, I always think if a spaceman came to Earth and saw the dog and the owner walking down the road and saw the owner picking up the remains of the dog, I wonder if it went back to its spacecraft and said, I think the dogs are running the planet. But I would say that, you know, that's one option which I've heard has been very, very successful. Depends on his own particular health. But yeah, you know, it's just staying included and finding out which is the path he wants, you know, but volunteering, helping out, you know, joining a church group, all of these things will open up in his heart a reason to get out of the house, a reason to go. And you know, and especially, you know, if a dog or a pet is a possibility, and it could be a cat, you know, but the dog gets him out of the house, a cat doesn't. A cat is just going to sit there on their lap, but a dog is going to reason to go for a walk, a reason to get around the block. But getting them plugged into, or getting him plugged into a new social group is going to be where primarily it's at, and not forcing it. You know, I mean, he's got to go through his own journey. But again, there's so much research, and I'll put a paper on the show notes so you can have a read through it. Honey,
can I get a dog?
Listen, she does that publicly because she knows that she can't have one. We're on the road all the time. Come on, that's not even fair on the dog.
That's okay. I've taken over looking after the fish. It's almost as good.
Look, I got 22 fish for you. So look, yeah, come on. She goes out there and talks to them like a kooky old lady.
She sits
out there in her house coat and her slippers. Have you named him yet?
No, only Blackie.
Oh, Blackie. So the only one, because all the others are goldy.
Orange.
No, I got lots of fish with lots of color. There's like white and gold. Most of them have a little character. The guy in the pet shop says, hey, me and Ben, my youngest son, went to pick up the fish. And we have a little pond right outside the front door. And, you know, he says, and there's a little sign up there. We do not select fish. And because, you know, obviously there's millions of fish in a tank, and they were little fish when we picked them up just a few months ago. And now they're like monster fish, you know, like you walk outside and you see a tail coming out of the water like a big whale. But I think because Jen overfeeds them, we found out last night that she's been feeding them and I've been feeding them. And I think our garden has been feeding them as well. So these things, I wonder why they're fat.
They're happy.
Yeah, they happy.
Now you come out the door and they're trained and they all swim over to the door with their waggly tails like dogs.
Well, like waggly tails. Yeah, so you have a dog, see? You should bring one in, take it for a walk. I tell you what I'll do. I'll scoop one out, put it in a bowl. You can take it for a walk around the block.
No, thanks.
Well, you show it things.
Not the same.
Oh, come on.
Only if you let me get it a leash, too.
A leash.
Are we ready for the next question?
I am, yeah.
This next question is from our friend Sudi.
Sudi.
Hello, hello, she says.
Sudi was one of the ladies that came to Belize and spent a week with the Kick-Ass Life practitioners on mind, body, and spirit. So we have to get another trip going soon.
We do. All right. So much fun. So Sudi's question is, I would like to know how you handle this age of information overload. As you know, I'm a single mom, work full-time in the healthcare industry, which is ever-changing. I'm starting my own business. Yay! Have tons of personal interests in personal development, and I seem to run out of time and get overwhelmed. Help!
Help! Is she got any?
Oh, and since I love to dance salsa, anything by Marc Anthony would brighten up my day.
Oh dear!
We love you too, Sudi.
Dancer, you should see her. She's got hips, ladies and gentlemen. Every time she got on the dance floor, everyone stopped and looked. By the way, this song is called I Need to Know, just for you, Sudi.
We're chair dancing.
right, Sudhi. Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that, and I'm guilty of this myself, is we have to plan, right? And so one of the things that I'd say is to go and get a massive calendar, one of those great big ones you put on your desk, and do a 90-day plan. And in that plan, put in the times where you'll be unplugged. So, you know, you have to put your faith in there. If you go to church, or maybe your meditation time, if you don't, you have to put your family in there, time with your kids, time with your husband, or in your case, you're single, but time with your friends, time with you. You know, what are you going to do for you? You know, you have to put in because you're building two businesses. You have your job time, that's in there. And then, of course, your time building your new business, you have to allocate time for that. And so, you know, when you do this calendar part, you know, then I would be very, very conscious of the times where, and you can color code it, where you're color coding, where you're unplugged. And I think it's something that, you know, it's become a disease. You see everyone at the restaurant with their machines out. I mean, we don't allow machines at our table, at least. But it's so easy to be plugged in. And now we've got to the age where we have to immediately answer someone, or, you know, they're kind of PO'd, right? So train people as well, right? Train people with your hours of operation. And that, again, something I'm guilty of is to say, look, I'm available for business between this time and this time. And then when you're done, switch off, you know, just switch off. And, you know, one thing I did on the island, which was interesting, we unplugged people from their machines. I've done three programs there right now. And that was one of the biggest things I read on the comment sheets, was being unplugged was like a breath of fresh air. And I think we've just got so far away from it, we've forgotten what it's like to be unplugged. So, you know, that's...
Remember when people used to call the house and it would ring and ring and there wasn't even an answering machine and you couldn't even get back to them?
Oh, honey.
Do you remember those days?
Oh, you remember the days? I remember the days when we used pigeons. We used to strap a piece of paper to a pigeon. We never knew whether it was going to get there or not. And sometimes we'd be months and months and months and then we never knew the answer.
We did just fine in those days.
Well, you know,
all this instant.
Listen, you're a little wee kid. What do you know about those days?
A wee kid.
That wee.
You're a little wee kid.
Instant messaging doesn't mean you have to instantly reply either. This is something I'm practicing.
Yeah, yeah. She needs to practice that. My goodness. She's like, tell you one thing, remove the sounds. That's what I've been trying to get Jen to do. Remove the sounds from your machine, so that when they go off, you don't, like, you're in the middle of a conversation and suddenly it's bing or whoop or tick or whatever, and then suddenly your mind is that was Jen, that wasn't even a real word, all right, but then you're suddenly, your mind is gone, right? And you're even though you're still there, you're thinking, oh, I wonder who that was, I need to talk to them, oh my gosh, life won't exist unless I can talk to them. All right, move on, lady, you're in control of this.
Well, you're babbling, so I was waiting for you to finish.
I'm in the middle of a babble. Everyone sit down while I babble.
All right, our next question is from Yael Erzi. Hi, Dave and Jen. You guys are awesome. I want to say your show is truly amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making it. Aw, thank you. All right, here's my question. What would you advise for a teenager that has no expenses, is making some money, and wants to create passive income, but doesn't even know where to start?
Well, Yael, first of all, you didn't request a song. And I asked Jen, I said, what song? Because you and I spoke this week, and I know you're 16. I should have done a 16 song.
Sweet 16.
Only 16, only 16. Too young to know. I was too young. Anyway, enough of that, because, you know, my morning voice just sounds like I've, hey, Barry White here. But I asked Jen for a song for you. So we're going to dedicate this to you because of my beautiful communication with you during the week earlier before the question came up. So this is just for you. And here we go.
Do you hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Because there's a spark in you. You just got to ignite the light and let it shine.
Jen's dancing, by the way. We're going to have to do a video.
It's funny, Sean. It's nice. We're going to dance around the living room with this song. Naked.
Naked dancing. Here we go. House code's coming up.
Baby, you're a
You're a firework. Yeah, you really are. I want to talk to your heart, lady. You know, 16, the whole world's in front of you. So this is to all our teens that listen in. I know we have lots of teens, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So Yael, this show is dedicated to you. And if we're saying your name wrong, I do apologize. You can train me how to say it and we'll do it all over again. All right, so great question. I have included in the show notes a link for you to read on creating a passive income stream using vending machines, which again can be, I know you don't have any money, so that's one of the challenges. But, you know, there's lots and lots of ways when there's no money. If there's lots of passion, you have lots of heart, and you want to get a group of people together, first of all, you can. Or even a partner. You just get a partner who has the money. Someone has the money, you have the passion and the heart, right? And so using other people's money is obviously one thing you can do. The other thing there is, you know, you can make money. I'm a great believer in not. So for example, right now, if I said to you, you know, you need to come up with $200, right? And you say, well, how do I do that? So then start thinking, well, what's all the ways I could come up with $200? Say a vending machine, a used vending machine, a gumball machine, which we've talked about on the show, let's say. You could buy a used one for, say, even $500 or $1,000. It doesn't matter what it is. So you say, okay, so what am I going to do about this question in my head? I don't have any money is a terrible question. How do I make $1,000 is a whole new question for a 16-year-old, right? So, okay, so I could babysit. I could do this. I could do this. I could take on other jobs. I could go and do a bottle drive. So you could go around your neighborhood and you can write and tell every single neighbor, knock on every single door saying, look, I'm 16, I'm starting a business, I need to raise $1,000 by Friday. And I'm telling you, if you come to my door and ask that question, I'll drink booze in front of you and give you the bottles just so that you can have something, right? I'll pour stuff down the drain because most of us are like that, right? Jen's saying, yeah, you don't need any more. but you know, the idea here is that the most people, it's not just 16-year-olds, it's everyone. They get stuck in this idea that, you know, that you're, the money thing is standing in the way. It's not. So that's one thing I would do is, first of all, read the article. And this, again, it's about a vending machine. It's a great idea, right? It doesn't take a whole lot of time. All right. But the idea of you making money, that's something I did very, very young, is I started making money. Money was never an option for me because I was always able to go out there and make it. I mean, that's why I did window cleaning. I mean, and again, I'm not expecting you to go and get a ladder and window clean, but there's probably 100 things you haven't thought about that you can do right now to raise money. And you could actually get a whole group of people involved in that, especially if you have a vision and a mission around it and you know, you go and talk to people. That's one thing. The other thing at 16 is this. I want you to understand the reason I'm so passionate about network marketing, right? It's because I've been able to help create more freedom for more people and more, and it doesn't matter what kind of freedom. At 16, you don't have a lot of expenses, but you could be financially free by the time you're 21, completely financially free by the time you're 21. Give me 3 years with you, right? But the challenge at 16 is you can't join a network marketing company, right? So then, you know, you'll be joining at 18. Still, you can create freedom in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So you've got 2 years right now where you could dedicate to studying, understanding this industry. And there's some great resources. I have a video on YouTube called, go to thekickasslife.com/mythbuster, thekickasslife.com/mythbuster. And you can watch that video and it will give you the sort of the reason, you know, 7 out of 10 women will be experience poverty in their lifetime. And unless you can have a vehicle that will allow you to step into freedom. So the idea of freedom is one thing. When you've got to go to work every day or at 16, start thinking about, okay, what do I got to do? I got to go to college. I got to do this. Or you can say, well, you know what, in the next 2 years, I will learn everything and I will burst out of the gate as a professional network marketer. And I work with a guy very, very closely, my brother from another mother, Eric Kuva, who started a group. It's called START, S-T-A-R-T. And it's a movement. It's a movement that is just groundswelling. And we know the youngest millionaire in that group is going to be 24. Come on. Come on. All right. But it's this whole group, you know, and so if you want to contact me again about that, I can put you in touch with Eric. He's one of the most incredible young men in the world. He's only 25 himself, but the group is only for 18 to 35 year olds. So 35 is the oldest you can be. And if you're older than that, you can't play in that pond. This is just for young people. And it's to ignite in young people, ignite them, to really, to live, both to discover their freedom, both physically and financially, you know, and to really contribute to the world on a high level. And he has such a great mission statement, but I'm going to let you find that on my show notes.
Can I just say that I'm really proud of Yale for even at 16 thinking about creating passive income?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's amazing.
And the thing, Yale, you got to be careful of is not to compare, you know, because at 16, you know, you're going to use the story. The story you could use is, oh, I'm too young and people won't take me seriously. That's nonsense. What's nonsense about that is youth is a great weapon for those of you that understand how to wield it. Because most people, when you're young, you can get away with stuff that no one else, you can tap on doors that most other people can't tap on. Because at 16, you know, you could go to celebrities, you can go to anyone and say, look, I'm 16, I want to start out. And most people will put you under their wing and say, hey, let me help you. So here's a couple of resources. You know, I want you to read three books. The Business of the 21st Century by Robert Kiyosaki. I want you to read The Next Millionaire by Paul Zane Pilsner, who was worked for two U.S. presidents as an economist. And the other one I want you to read is GoPro by Eric Worre. And just understand. And the only people that will tell you this industry, by the way, and they're the ones that challenge it, are normally broke and unhappy. So don't listen to broke, unhappy people because they don't know what they're talking about. And the fact is, you know, if someone's going to give you advice, ask that question. Are they really happy? Are they really rich? Great. I'll listen to them, right? If they're really unhappy and they're not very wealthy, don't take financial advice from them. Don't let them tell you, you know, to go and do it another way. There is a better way. And most people don't know it. That's why they're in jobs. Like 73% of people hate their jobs, right? And that's why it's so, so important for you to come out of like 16 to think I'm going to design my life and surround myself with the most positive, uplifting, passionate. And that's what Jen's on. Jen's doing the same thing. She's completely redesigned her life right now. Been able to quit her job, which had kept her in a dark room for 8 hours, although she loved it as a RMT, a registered massage therapist. But now she has the freedom to travel the world and really, really help masses of people as opposed to helping one at a time. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It is. And the other thing, Yale, is that at 16, you could become an inspiration for other young people. So I would love for you to go
first. Let's just say this. You are an inspiration.
You already are.
All right, hold on one sec.
It's my chance to shine. It's 16.
Sweet 16.
From Sarah, you, dear Dave and Jen, you guys are awesome, and I'm happy to have one more show a week.
Who's this from?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
My life has deeply changed since I started listening to you a year and a half ago. Well, I've moved back to my beautiful country, Colombia.
Colombia.
You're invited anytime, she says. We should go. And I want to start a network marketing business. What is your advice on reaching success, keeping the motivation, and dealing with rejection? Please point me in the right direction.
Well, you know, rejection's an interesting thing. I teach a whole class on overcoming your fear of the word no. And I teach people, because rejection is really interesting, right? Because if you look at the three top fears in humanity, the fear of rejection, the fear of humiliation, and the fear of death. Death is number three. And so it's a muscle. And so, you know, I mean, you imagine when you were kids, you would run up to anyone at any time. You'd run up to strangers in the park and say, will you be my friend? Right? That's the way we were. That's the way we were hardwired. Jen's pouring tea right now. Look at this. I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'll have a cup of tea, will you? Hello, darling. Can I have a cup? Oh, I'd love a cup of tea and a slice of cake. A little squirrel moment there. All right. So, so the idea here, excuse me, clearing my throat into the microphone. Apparently, Jen said that I do a lot of this. And she gets a little nauseous when she listens to me on the show. Thank you so much. I feel so confident. Anyway, so the idea here is that, you know, we it's a muscle. And so if you build that muscle and you realize that what does no really mean and what are you making it mean? And most people make no mean the wrong thing. So they mean I'm a loser. I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not good at this. I'm stupid. And I do this. I survey people, and hundreds of people will tell me what they make the word no mean. So you know your goals and dreams are at the end of a passageway. But in the passageway, you're going to have to receive hundreds, if not thousands of no's to get exactly where you want to be in life. You have to. There is no other way apart from hearing the word no, right? So what's going to happen there is you go through there. Most people, they hear 3, 4, 5, 6. And normally from people who are not interested or are very unhappy or are really, really broke and they don't understand. Remember, so the word no for me means a couple of things. A, it means I don't know. So they need more information. So they'll say no to you because they don't know. But most importantly is no, not right now. No, it's not the time. And so whatever you're doing, most people, most network marketers, and I train a lot of the best network marketers in the world, I'm telling you, a lot of them have to learn this lesson. It's an expensive lesson that steers a lot of people out of the industry. Is being in a real relationship with people. And you know, to really grow a great network and to be really a professional network marketer, you know, you're going to be building amazing relationships. And some of those relationships will not be in your business. And some of your family members will not be in this business with you. And that's okay. And stop bugging them, right? But people do it all the time. My brother, you know, he should be in. I've been in for 3 years now. I've been trying for 3 years to my brother. He doesn't speak to anyone. Of course he doesn't. Leave him alone. Get back into the relationship with your brother. And, you know, not everyone is their time. It's not their interest, but you can still be a master of relationships and have beautiful relationships both in and outside your network rather than bugging the crap out of people. So that's one. Overcoming the word no is a practice. So I'll challenge you. If you really want to be wealthy and rich, go out there and collect 100 no's this week. Collect 100 no's and celebrate every single one of them. Because all you're doing is growing a muscle. And the muscle is such a critical muscle to grow in any success, any endeavor you want. And here's the other thing I'll say to you. We are just opening in Colombia. So if you want to join a very, very powerful team that really is going somewhere, then guess what? Get in touch with Jan or me and we'll help you. We'll plug you in. And guess what? It's not open yet. So it's a great time to be thinking about Colombia. Oh, by the way, we should play a little something Colombia. I don't know this song, so it could go the wrong way, but let's try it. Oh, I see. I told you. I didn't know about that one. Let's try this one. Colombia. You know the song?
No, but I like it.
You like it? Who's the singer? And Julie.
She's a beautiful voice.
You like her? You can hear that through my headphones?
I can.
Wow. You think, what's going on in my head? There's a little dance party in my head. All right, over to you, kiddo.
All right, next question.
Oh, by the way, we should say this, by the way. Sorry interrupting you, but you know what? This we're going to keep going, so we may go over, but you know, there's questions we're going to answer.
We have lots of questions so, today.
Come on, then.
Move along, little doggy.
Move along, little doggy.
This one's from Sylvain Langer. Hi, Dave and Jane, he wrote.
Ah.
My first word...
Me Tarzan.
You Tarzan, me Jane. My first word would be to say thank you to my... to kick my ass each time I plug you into my ears. Hee Love that. The question I want to ask you is a bit personal. Uh-oh, you ready, honey?
Yeah.
I hope you won't take offense. Do you think you will, honey?
Oh, I'm already taking offense.
Here it is. Don't you think that the choice of having shower as your trigger tip... comes from
you. say that again. What am I doing with the shower? I'm having a what?
Don't you think that the choice of having a shower as your trigger tip comes from your 10 years of backpacking, as it's so hard to take one shower a day when you don't own a house? I was just wondering, as I'm going to have a wonderful road trip in Oz with my lovely girlfriend, and I, on that note, dedicate...
Oh, is this a love story?
Crazy by Black Label. Soft one, honey. Are you ready?
What was there? Was there another song? I mean, was it?
High.
High. I wasn't able to find. I can find Black Label. But I just can't find that song. I mean, so you know what I'm going to have to do? I can't believe I can't find that song.
I can't believe you can't find it. You know, you're fired. Fired.
Maybe I spelled it wrong, but I mean, I realize who Black Label is, right? They have So Incredible, The Fonz, Stick Shift. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to see if I can find it, but here's what's going to happen. What about Extended Play? No, it's not that. Let's try this. We're going to try a little song for you, and I'll see if I can find it. Here we go.
Something like a chest move, thighs so thick, waist thin as a test tube. You know I bore you, can sweat the next dude. He don't compare and can't even expect to.
I feel fresher than a pair when you get shoes. Sentimental, beautiful song about forgiveness, and you play a rap song?
You know, what could I do? I couldn't find it. Look, give me a break here. You know, all right. I feel, see, now I'm blushing. I'm blushing here. I can't believe it. Anyway, but it is Black Label. We're going to spend all this time talking about this song, right? You know. Okay. So
off you go, honey.
Answer the question. So the question.
Don't you think the choice of having a shower as your from 10 years of backpacking?
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. I want to tell you about I'll tell you about three famous showers I've had. And I can tell you hundreds of stories like this, right? One is when I was sailing across the ocean, we couldn't use water. So we would use salt. A bar of soap that activates in salt. So I'd scoop a big bucket of water from the ocean and I would shower myself from head to foot. And all these photographs of me like completely lathered up. Like I looked like a snowman on the back of a sailboat in the middle of the ocean. And then I'd take a small cup of fresh water, a very, very small cup, and I would be able to rinse my whole body and, you know, and or most of it. And it certainly around my face and hands, so it wasn't sticky. And, you know, so I would always shower, right? Another one was in Palenque in the Mayan ruins. I was caught in a massive thunderstorm on top of the Mayan ruins. And there's another photograph of me with a bar of soap out and shampooing, you know, my whole body. And then one time we were going from Mexico City down to Palenque, the same trip. And it was so hot on this train. We were on a third class train, and every single time the train stopped, I figured out that they had these great big water pipes that they would use to put into the trains themselves. And because of that, I would jump off and I would completely wash myself because you're in a really, really grubby third class train. And so I would jump out and I would wash myself down. I'd use a little bit of soap. And then the people on the train noticed what I was doing. I've got these photographs of these Mexicans passing me their kids, their babies, and I'd be washing these other kids, and I'd be washing babies. And in the end, it became a tradition because we were on that train for, a day and a half, I think it was. And me washing half the carriage and it became this wonderful thing. So the thing about this is, yes, if you're going to travel around the world, there is always a way to shower every day. It can be a little tap. There's nowhere I can go in the world where I can't find water and I can't.
If you're going to Australia, you have to shower on the beach every day.
There you go.
When I lived across from the beach in Perth, Australia, my favorite thing to do was to get up, roll out of bed, throw on my bikini, walk across the street, dive in the ocean, and then rinse off in the shower on the beach. There is no better way to start the day than a shower on the beach.
Wow. Well, there is a better way. Showering on the beach. Well, I think showering on each day with you is a better way. But anyway, but that's
true, honey.
I would say that that you really do have this opportunity to think differently about it. Is that because I see this with even hitchhikers, right? You see them out on the road and they're looking all grubby, and I mean, there's not a chance. The reason I got picked up all over the world was because I never, never, never left the house without looking like I was someone wanted to pick up. And there's water everywhere. I mean, I've showered in bathrooms with a little tiny tap. You lock the door and you strip down and you shower. But and that's why I think it has become a trigger. But never a day, even in Kilimanjaro.
I mean, say that.
Oh, that's a great one. So we hike Kilimanjaro in February and we're up there and it's freaking cold. And you should ask Jen every day, man, I'll be out there with a bucket and
in the tent.
Yeah. So shower in the tent, like wet one. But I would go out there and I'd take a bucket of water. I'd wash my hair and I would shower. And I mean, it was cold, but I was invigorated. I was clean. I had a little skip in my step. So I would say make priority showering. Your priority. And then when you get older, shower with a friend. Sorry about the song. I still can't find it. I was actually looking while I was answering the question. And, you know, maybe I spelt it wrong. I don't know. But Black Label, what was the other song you put in?
Ooh.
Doesn't matter. We got lots to do.
Yes, we have many questions to get to.
Okay.
You know what? We'll look for it and hopefully add it on the end of the show. Next question is from Abby Lutas. Hi, Dave and Jen. I always get so excited when there's a new show to listen to. Your topics and conversations are inspiring. I feel like we're best friends, yet we've never met face to face.
We can be best friends.
Abby. By the way, I love the name Abby. One of my favorites. Abby's question. I like this question. I feel, where is it? I'm moving through changes with a relationship and work situation. My question for the show relates to decisions. Change and letting go. After making a personal decision to move forward, I'm often challenged or persuaded by others involved to regress on my decision. These individuals present me with convincing future ideas that influence me. They ask me to think about my decision for my benefit, but is it really for their benefit? How do I know which information to take on board and when to trust the decision I have made?
Well, that's what most people struggle with, this one. It's by the way, it's a great, great question. Mm-hmm. It really is. And the thing is this, again, I typically would say that, you know, when you make a decision, go for it. Go for the decision and you're going to learn something. And if it's a wrong decision, you're going to learn something. As long as you don't stop. I mean, if your ego, and you don't have an ego, otherwise you wouldn't have asked a question like this. Not what the ego I'm talking about. Some people make a decision and they it's not taking them in the direction they want to go. And what they end up doing is they end up staying on that track and losing everything because they, you know, they got to make it work. I mean, you know, the results are going to show you whether the decision's a good one or a bad one. Mm-hmm. But how do you grow and learn to trust your own decision-making process unless you make decisions and go for it? Now, taking advice is when you go to someone, like, let's say you come to me like you're doing right now, you say, hey, listen, Dave, can I get your advice on something? And then you're choosing someone who is either very successful at what you're doing. And so they're, you see them as a light. So you say, you know, that person over there, I want to be more like them. They have a little light. When you see Jen, she has this little bubble of spark. Well, most days, except if it's 5:30 in the morning, right? And so what happens with that is she has this little bubble and spark. And so what, you know, so other people, what they'll do is this, they'll, you know, I'm sorry, I just thought of something. My mind went wandering, excuse me. So what happens is if you see that and you go up to her and say, hey, listen, Jen, can I ask advice? Because you see in her something amazing. That's you seeking out advice. That's the advice you can take. If someone comes to you, you made a decision. No, you know what? That's not such a, you know, have you really thought about it? And then you ask the question, are they really, really happy? Are they really, really wealthy? Right? Is this a kind of advice? And if they are sage advice, if they come to you and they see something, if I saw you and I said, hey, listen, I want you to think about something. You say, God, this guy's really happy. He's really wealthy. I should maybe listen. Maybe he sees I'm about to step into something I don't need to. But most things is modeling. If you model other people, whatever you want to do, if like whether you want to travel around the world or whatever you want to do, model what other people have done and add your own little twist to it. So if you model everything, business, model it. You know, if you want to be something, model it. If there's a great hairdresser, you want to be a hairdresser, model what they're doing. If they have a, so that's the easiest way to succeed. Model it and add your own twist. And then you become as good as they are with a twist, with your own little personality in there, right? But I mean, that self-doubt is sometimes your own inner conversation. That's why it's allowed in. So I'd say make the decision, take a step, keep moving, watch what's going on. If it's taking you closer to your dreams and goals, if it's opening up more doors, keep going. If it's not, don't go back to where you were. Just change course slightly, right? Make a few adjustments here and there, right? And find people who are going in the same direction because everything's environment. Environment is definitely stronger than willpower. And I want to play a quick song for the love song that I missed. This was one of my old favorite love songs when I was a kid. This is from Casablanca, Dooley Wilson. Here we go. It's obviously a slow start.
Technical difficulties this morning.
A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. Fundamental things apply as time goes by.
All right, baby.
So, Sylvain, you can dance or shower on the beach.
It's my favorite song when I was 16. Can you believe that? Well, I was a bit of a rocker, wasn't I?
All right, let's move on to the next question, honey. We've got three more to go. Woo!
All right.
Love it. Jameson Kekures. Hello, David and Jen. First off, I'd like to say I love your podcast and it has really helped me get through some difficult times. Aw. A few weeks ago, I started college, and now, since I've been here, I've decided that college is not what I want to be doing at this point in my life. I've decided to drop out and take my education into my own hands.
Oh.
What I really want to do is start a business and work my way towards a passive income. So I have two questions for you. What is the best way to deal with all of the criticism from dropping out of college from my friends and family? And if you were in my situation, just out of school with no money, what would you do? And Jameson has a song. My song for the week is My 18 by Alice Cooper. All in dedication right. to me, he says, in my journey ahead. Go, Jameson.
18, I just don't know what I want. 18, I gotta get away. I've gotta get out of this place. I'll go running in outer space.
All right, great song. Great topic.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, listen, everyone is going to tell you what to do, right? I mean, but I do think that, you know, you've got to make your own choices in the end. And at 18, that's when I was starting to think about leaving. And you know, college will always be there. University will always be there. You can always come back to it. But at 18, it's so hard to know who you are. And so, you know, and there's lots of great ways to travel the world. There's lots of great things to do and experiences to be had. But you want to be an entrepreneur, right? And so you could still come back to studying. You could still study on the side if you wanted to, but studying business, I mean, that's the other thing I've said to my sons is like, if you want to be a great entrepreneur, and let's say that you decide that you want to compromise with your family, you say, okay, look, you know, I will study. Well, why don't you study business? And then that way you'll have this amazing foundation. But I'd still travel first. I would still go off. And even if it's 3 months or 6 months or a month or whatever it is, and there's so many free ways to travel. And I should put a link that remind me about that link for woofing. Willing workers on organic farms. Woofing. We talked about that a few weeks ago, right? But there's lots of ways to travel the world with no money and go and work or, you know, go and volunteer somewhere or go and do something where you're out of your own environment so you can meet new people, see the world. It's going to change you at such a deep core. And because it changes you, you'll change your perspective on what you want out of life and what you want to contribute. And in the end of the day, you know, you're going to reach a stage and say there's three stages of life, the education part, the work part, and then the contribution part. Is most people get to the end of their life before they start contributing. You young people listening in, you can start now. You can do both, right? And the other thing is you're 18. Again, I want to hook you in with Eric. With a start group and just surround yourself by thousands. I mean, really, there's thousands and thousands of young people in this group who are all passionate. They understand that financial freedom is their birthright. They're going somewhere. They will not be denied. And then they have a support group and they have a vehicle that absolutely works, right? So what I would say is this. Again, contact me privately. I'll put you in touch with him. And you know, write your own story. Because guess what? Unless you're looking at someone whose story is impeccable, like, I mean, parents, and again, God bless us. I'm a parent. I do the same to my own kid. But I want my kids to be happy. And you can be both. You could be an incredibly successful business person and you can be incredibly happy and you can have a loving relationship with your family. Or you can be somebody who travels the world, lives your passion and has a beautiful relationship with your family. The most important thing is don't deny that, but they don't understand and they want to understand what you're coming from and just talk to them. Be honest. Don't get angry. Don't slam the door in their face. Say, look, mom, dad, I want you to trust me. I'm going to go away for a bit. This is what I want. I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to learn these things. I'm going to step into something great because, you know, most parents, I mean, I tell you, I mean, I've worked with 200,000 people. Most of them adults and most of them are unhappy and unfulfilled. What does that tell you? Right? So it's not like there's a magic formula out there of really, really happy, fulfilled and passionate living people who go around changing the world. Most people are in the other camp and they're telling us what to do. Screw that. Excuse me. Oh, I got a little, oh, I'm having a little bit. You know what I really feel like doing? Back to the 18. Here we go.
I'm 18 and I don't know what I want. 18, I just don't know what I want.
What was that, baby?
Are you ready for the next song?
Yeah, let's go.
This one's for Devin Fitz. He says, "Hi, Dave and Jen. I'd like to dedicate my song request to my wonderful and loving partner in life, my wife, Emily. This is Broken Road by Rascal Flatts."
Now, listen, look how quickly she's making me change songs. What am I?
Let me do it.
Song. Yes,
it is.
That's to all the lovers out there.
Aww, makes me want to go have a cuddle.
Oh, honey, I've got a call to go on. Can we cuddle after that?
Yeah. So Devin says, "I've been listening to your show for about 9 months, and I find that you often have guests and discuss topics that I really need to hear. One message I keep getting is that while I'm imaging, journaling, and other mental exercises are critical, it is also necessary to take action in order to realize your goals. In that regard, I've written a children's book. The topic is one that I haven't seen addressed in any other children's book, and I really believe that the message will be a popular one. But I'm having trouble moving from where I am, and I suddenly realized that I could ask you."
Whee!
So my question is in two parts. Part one, "I'd really like to move on getting my book published, but I don't have really any money to publish independently. How can I get my book known and published? Number two, I've tried illustrating my book, but since I've never really drawn anything and I'm still learning how to use Photoshop, I'm having trouble making it outright. How can I get my book illustrated? With a publishing company help with that? Or do you know anyone interested in illustrating a children's book?"
Sure. Well, first of all, I published a children's book and it was a bestseller. It's called There's a World in My House. And again, the idea, what I did was I actually bumped into an artist who was at a table in a coffee shop who we've fallen in love with each other. She's a great friend. And I had this feeling. I said, "Hey, are you interested in publishing or illustrating a children's book?" And she is the most incredible illustrator. You have to see these illustrations. They're unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. So there's a million artists out there who have the talent and skill. If they love your story, ask people, you know, and just, you know, ask, find someone. You want to find someone you really like. So having someone who's passionate about the subject or really passionate and can bring to life exactly what you want to say. But there's millions of artists out there, even people on the show right now. If you're an artist, you want to help illustrate this book, why don't you contact through Facebook? You can see the question. Go on to thekickasslife.com or the Kickass Life Podcast with David Wood Facebook page, and you'll find the question. Give them a little link and just say, "Hey, listen, I'm open," and maybe talk about it. As far as publishing, how I publish my book, I treat it like I do anything. So those of you that are looking to change careers, those of you that want work, whatever it is, I treated publishing my book like a job. So what I did was and by the way, it's one of the hardest things to get published because there's millions and millions and millions of children's books out there, right? So there is just a lot. And as everyone has a children's book inside, so don't be disappointed. The other thing is to go and make some money somewhere else and publish your book on your own. So don't let that stop you. The book can stay. My book stayed inside me for about 7 years before I published it, right? So don't worry about the race. I mean, just go out there and become wealthy. I mean, that's don't let money stand in the way of anything. Because, I mean, if you want to make money, you can do it. Most people just don't think about it. They just stay stuck in this idea that they have no money, right? So what I did was I phoned publishers every single day. I put 2 hours a day aside for getting my book published. I had a lot of no's, which again, I celebrated. And after day four, I phoned this publishing company and the owner answered. And we chatted for about a half an hour about life. And we were joking before he said, "By the way, why'd you call?" And I said, "Oh, I've got this children's book," by which time we liked each other. And he went ahead and published it, right? So that is, ladies and gentlemen, is one way. But I say, don't let money get in the way. Go make some money and do it yourself is the easiest way. And because you can publish one or 10 or 50 or 20, right? Or but if you're going to get it in front of people, there's a way around that. Just go on Google and I'll put a link on that, how to publish a book, how to self-publish, right? But again, what I did is treat it like a job. I would not be denied. I would have called every single day for 2 hours. And I would have found a way, and I did. And that was just because of my tenacity, and I just happened to build a relationship, right? And by the time this guy liked me, and he even said no to me 6 times after he liked me, he said, "Ah, Dave, we don't do children's books." I said, "Ah, come on. By now we liked each other, right?" So, awesome. So,
So we should move on to the last question because we've run a little late today.
A little late today.
So our last question is from Mary Black. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
She says, I'll just read this quickly. Thank you so much for doing what you do. I've switched from listening to music to podcasts and PD audiobooks from Dave Ramsey to T-Har Record to Eric Worre. I used to think that I wouldn't have a good workout unless I was listening to music until I had Harv and Dave yelling in my ears. What I'd love to hear more about is the mindset of money as I found my purpose and my why in just the last week at your last program, honey. I know I struggle with being comfortable with making money and my goal is to make lots of it. Which is why Harv and Dave are the ones yelling in my ears when I work out. Thanks again for all you do. And we're making the world a better place.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. Because we are running behind and I want to honor your time. First of all, a little of this. All right. I'll do my 30-minute show on money mindset coming up. So I can answer it. Because it's not a quick answer. It's not a 30-second answer. It's not a 2-minute answer. So I will, on Thursday, I will do a whole show on money mindset just for you. All right. So
thanks,
with that
Mary.
Being said, Jen, how you doing?
Awesome, hon. Close the call up with one more gratitude?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get rid of this song. All right, hold on. Here we go. Jen has a gratitude.
No, there's no drum roll necessary.
Dun, 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 dun.
I have a new microphone that's all mine.
Look at that. Thank you, Michael. We came up here and we set her up with her own little mic.
I got my own little station here. I feel like I'm really part of it.
And who did I give the brand new massive screen iMac to?
Me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what did I get? This little old beaten up Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's love right there.
And that's love right there. Do you know what the time is right now? How many minutes you're over?
Yeah, time to go.
This is an hour show. Get off the call. Let's go.
All right, then. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll meet you on the other side.
Ciao, everyone.
That was kick-ass.